Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The son of a serial killer devotes his life to hunting down killers. That's the premise of Prodigal Son, Fox's new Monday Night Saga, starting in 2 weeks. Creators and showrunners Sam Sklar and Chris Fedak join me next in an internet radio exclusive. With new programming services like Apple TV+, Disney+, and BET+ coming soon, are they stimulating new TV initiatives from independent filmmakers? IFP Week, beginning this Sunday, may offer some answers and perhaps trigger some ventures. We'll preview the TV side of this family event later this hour with Reps Sam Zoli and Gabrielle Capolino. Also ahead, the countdown is on for BET+. To make its debut move, we've got the details in our news notes section, another Sportsnet kicks off, and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. Morning chaos later this half hour. A great Monday afternoon, or in the case of folks on the West Coast, late Monday morning to you and all. And welcome once again, earlier than normal, to the program All About Television. 76 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York for the first time in 2 weeks. We are not talking Hurricane Dorian, thank goodness. We're talking TV all the way. Wonderful guests coming away in this hour and change. And we invite you, of course, to be part of the program. So interact with us, how? Pick up the phone, dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Another way you get involved is our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, already somebody's in the room. We appreciate that. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So anytime during the program, use the phone or the room. Either way, you'll be involved. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen or Spreaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Sam Sklar and Chris Fedak, the creative showrunners of Prodigal Son, coming to Fox 2 weeks from tonight. They're with us live from L.A. after these news notes. BET Plus has set its launch date and monthly fee next Thursday, September 19th, at $9.99 per month. More than 1,000 hours of series, movies, and stand-up specials will be available upon premiere, including the new series First Wives Club from Tracy Oliver and Bigger from Will Packer. We've already reached out to BET to see if we can get the executive producer responsible for BET Plus on our program in the next week or so. Well, we've got another content venture launching today through smart TV sets and TV-connected devices. It's Fubo Sports Network, a mix of event coverage, original series, and sports feature films. Initial sports on tap include college football, cycling, pro lacrosse, horse racing, and Liga MX soccer from Mexico. The series include Call of the Night with Julie Stewart-Binks, The Players Lounge, and Fubo News. Friday nights will be devoted to movie doubleheaders. When Dirty John moves from Bravo to USA Network in 2020, the subject matter will be the divorce case involving Betty Broderick, the headline-making development which led to double suicide some decades ago. Amanda Peet, you may remember her from Brockmire, and Kristen Slater, of course, coming off the final season this fall of Mr. Robot, will co-star in the second round of this podcast adaptation for the two. Add a few quickies before we get to our first guest. The Righteous Gemstones will be back for a second season next year on HBO. And Turner Classic Movies will give its Silent Sunday Night franchise a host for the first time this coming Sunday at midnight. University of Chicago professor Jacqueline Stewart will be the host, and she is the network's first African-American host, and I believe also host of color on that network. And that is news notes for today. 2 weeks from tonight, Fox, now an independent entity, no longer involved with 20th Century Fox since that company's acquisition by Disney, will join in presenting its 2019-20 television season. And the opening night will feature the third season premiere of 9/11 from Ryan Murphy and the latest series from that prolific independent executive producer, Greg Berlanti, involved with Warner Brothers. It's called Prodigal Son, and it's about a son of a serial killer who decides to write himself up by, guess what, hunting down other murderers. Joining us live from Los Angeles, beautiful downtown Burbank, this half hour, an air radio exclusive, the creator and showrunner of Prodigal Son, Chris Fedak and Sam Sklar. Chris and Sam, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon.
Simon, so great to be here. Thanks for having us on your show.
It is a pleasure, and Sam, we'll start with you. This is not the first time you've teamed up for a television series. You were both involved with a show called Deception, what have you decided to continue the partnership and do this series, which comes to Fox in 2 weeks?
Well, Deception was a show that Chris created, and I came on as a producer of. And we just loved working together. We had a really fun time mixing the case of the week procedural on Deception with the comedy that we both liked so much. When that show didn't come back for a second season, we were still certain that we wanted to continue working together. And that's what made us team up and think up this idea of Prodigal Son.
Chris, was the idea, did it have anything to do with a true crime incident, or you were inspired by an earlier series to put this together?
You know, it's funny because the show actually didn't come together as a procedural. It's not how we started. We actually started talking about our families. We were talking about our parents and how they affect us. And so Sam and I, you know, we were just kind of mulling and kicking around ideas. And as we were kind of musing over that thought of, like, you know, the defense mechanisms we create, like, why is Sam funny and why am I weird? You know, to like, and how our parents, you know, kind of made us this way. You know, we started asking the question of, like, well, what if your father was the worst person in the world? What if your father was a serial killer? And I think based on that question alone, we started to run with this idea of, like, you know, you would understand how a serial killer thinks if that was your father. And so all of a sudden we started to kind of think about, you know, a show where Martin, you know, we started thinking about the surgeon and Martin Whitley and then his son Malcolm, and he kind of came into focus as this kind of brilliant detective. But I think that it always starts with a family show. It's like that's the thing that we're fascinated by. We're fascinated by this family and how they survive. And so that's the interesting thing for us and the thing that we've definitely been drawn to.
And Sam, how did both of you develop the family idea into what we're going to see on Fox?
How did we develop the family idea? Was that the question? I'm sorry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, very good. Well, then I did know the question all along, Simon. I knew it all. The way we developed the family is we just started to think, like Chris was saying, what if your father was a serial killer? But beyond that, what if your father was a serial killer and he was a really good dad? He was home every night at 7 o'clock for dinner. You know, his wife, Jessica, played by Bellamy Young, thought that she had found the man of her dreams and a partner that she could go out with. Halston Sage, who plays Bright's younger sister, Ainsley, she loved her daddy more than anything else in the world. And then to have all of this fall out from underneath you and find out that this man is a monster and how that can affect your life going forward, that was the story that we just want to tell different facets of every week. I think every week we're most excited to have a case of the week sort of murder that we could solve, but also another question about this family, because I think everyone can relate to their own relationship with their parents. Like Chris said, we were raised by very nice men and women. No serial killers in our family, per
that,
se.
That we know of.
That we know of. But still, we can see how we've been affected by our parents and the trauma that our lead, Malcolm Bright, was subjected to through who his father was. It's just a well that we're excited to go back to over and over again and give this distinct Fox character lead that I think we're on the perfect network to showcase.
Mm-hmm. So it's a case of father knows best and kills best, and luckily no skeletons in either your closet.
Exactly.
So many skeletons in the closet, in the basement, in the attic.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we have another person just joined our chat room, Simon Apple 04, by name. Have a question, comment for our guests, put in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. You have a very interesting dynamic in terms of this father-son relationship. The son is played by Tom Payne. Many people know him from The Walking Dead. And the son is somebody who has gotten a lot of notoriety lately. He's been nominated for both Emmys and Golden Globe Awards for his work in other TV projects. Michael Sheen, how does this sort of father-son dynamic in terms of the actors you picked for these roles come along?
Well, it's one of those things where you never really know. It's like, you know, all we knew was that we had cast two fantastic actors. You know, when we first got into making the show and, you know, with Warner Brothers and Fox, we knew we were going to need an incredible Martin Whitley. We were going to need an amazing surgeon. And when Michael Sheen read the script and was interested, we were ecstatic because all of a sudden the dream of making the best version of the show began to kind of come into focus. And so from that point on, it's like getting Tom Payne, getting Bellamy Young, we knew we were going to have an excellent cast. But still, when you walk on the set that day during the pilot with our director, Lee Tolan Krieger, you don't know exactly what you have until you start filming, because it's like, you know, it's definitely alchemy. It's good. There's a bit of magic there, but the moment they got together, the moment we got into those scenes, you could see that electricity. You could see that father-son dynamic. Because at the heart of it is a dad who honestly loves his son. And yes, it may be some type of psychopathic simulacrum, but in the end, Martin cares about his son and is in a weird way still a good father for him. He just has a bad habit of killing people on the side. So I think that, you know, for us, you know, Michael Sheen just like really kind of drove right into that part. He makes him charming and tragic and caring all in the same moment, and also is funny. And then Tom Payne is one of those actors that like he can look, you know, he can be charming and funny as well, but he also is tortured and he has that kind of pained, you know, part of him that he's like, yeah, I think audiences are really going to fall for.
Prodigal Son is Fox's new and first new original drama as an independent player, and it will start 2 weeks from tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, right after the third season premiere of the critically acclaimed Ryan Murphy drama, 9-1-1. We've got the creators and showrunners of the program. That's Chris Fedak and Sam Sklaver. They're both joining us live from beautiful downtown Burbank, California, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Hassan with you live from New York, 76 degrees at the bottom of this hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So get involved, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we'll kick it off with one of the top leaders in the TV diversity movement, the president of NAMIC, and that is A. Shanice Washington. Next week, she starts her second year at the helm of NAMIC when they celebrate Diversity Week here in New York at the Marriott Marquis with their annual conference. Also, we'll meet one of the fast-rising new entrepreneurs in the world of television comedy. His name is Brian Volk-Weiss, and he is the founder and owner of Comedy Dynamics, and they're doing more than just stand-up comedy specials with various networks. For one thing, they got a very big Netflix show coming up, and for another, they got a very big project. The revival of Mad About You, co-starring from the original Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt. It premieres in November on Spectrum Originals, that's video on demand on cable systems across the country, owned by Charter Communications. And Brian will be with us live in the second half hour of the program. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here, our regular time on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sam, talk about more about the character that Tom plays. Does he see himself as a vigilante? Does he see himself as a do-gooder? How do you sort of frame the character once he makes the decision, well, I'm going to track down other murderers?
Well, the way we like to think about Malcolm Bright, who's our criminal profiler, formerly with the FBI but now with the NYPD, is we like to think of him as Sherlock Freud. And he's a mix of these two characters with Sherlock Holmes and Sigmund Freud, where he wants to figure out the case as Sherlock would, but because of his own father and his own upbringing, he really knows how killers think, and he knows how to get inside of their mind. A show that was very influential for Chris and myself, because it was both a procedural and on this network, is House, where Gregory House, you know, had this trauma in his past that was fueling him while he was presently trying to solve every case and diagnose every ailment that came into his hospital. Malcolm Bright is with the NYPD, and he's diagnosing every murder that's happening on the NYPD's watch. And he's doing that through the skills that he's learned with the FBI and the skills that he's learned from his father. So that's really how we like to look at this, as a very unique character who we hadn't seen before, but we're fascinated with the work he does with the NYPD, and we're fascinated with the work that he's doing with his own family. What we're going to blow up in episode two is that there's a lot about Bright's own past that he's not aware of. There's a lot of mysteries. He was only 10 when his father was arrested, and his sister was only 5. So there's a lot of things they think they know about their past that they might not actually know. And there's a lot of things they think they know about their mother, played by Bellamy Young, that they might not know about her. And all of these mysteries are things that Bright can keep going back to. We just love Tom Payne in the role, and you know, the way that he is traumatized, experiencing PTSD from his childhood, but still trying to do the right thing while everyone still looks at him as the son of a serial killer. It's a guy that I'm excited to get behind every week, you know?
Yeah. Chris, is post-traumatic stress syndrome, what Sam just talked about, is that going to be a main plot point?
I think that's definitely a part of Bright's character. I mean, it's like usually someone with this type of situation, complex PTSD would definitely be a part of it. It would be a part of the way he has kind of survived, and it would be a part of, like, essentially the wounding of his childhood. So yeah, we're definitely going to explore how we're affected by these, by people. And so also, like, each week we'll get into a different type of psychology and try to understand our killers and also see how Bright can kind of understand them as well. It's a defense mechanism. That idea of the mirroring your parents, so they, the fact that he understands how his father thinks is critical to be that, you know, Sherlock Freud thing that, that Sam was describing.
Sam, both you and Chris are working for probably the most prolific television series producer out there right now, Greg Berlanti. The talk is that by the end of this year, he'll have at least 19, maybe 20 shows on the air all over the place. He is like Mr. Aaron Spelling right now in television. And you're also working with Sarah Schachter, who's worked with Berlanti on Riverdale and The Flash, among other series. And this is a different type of show for her, as opposed to a superhero show like The Flash, or a sort of, although she's done mystery in a very supernatural way like Riverdale. What's it like working with both of them, especially Greg, who just seems to have this knack for being in the right place at the right time with the shows he does?
Well, I don't think that's a knack. I think that's a skill set into itself. It's like, you know, I've worked with Greg on a couple of shows, starting with Legends of Tomorrow and then into Deception and now Prodigal Son. And it's just like he has one of the sharpest TV minds out there. And it's a pleasure to work with him. He's, you know, he's charming and great, but it is like a, he just understands television, he understands the audience, and he understands what people are looking for, and also how we watch TV. He's also just a really great storyteller. And I think that that's the thing that we kind of come at, and that, you know, the thing that we draft off of from him. And also, and then he puts together a fantastic team, and there's no better, you know, executive producer like Sarah Schachter. You know, she's sharp and brilliant and just understands the business so very well, and also has a great story mind in her, you know, unto herself. So, you know, when you're going into a, you know, making any TV show is going to be an uphill battle. It's going to have incredible challenges and whatnot. And you just want to stock your team with the best people around. And there's nobody better than those two.
Mm-hmm. With people like that, Chris, how do they manage the time so that whatever show they're working on, no matter what the genre is, no matter what the plot line is, no matter who's producing it or directing it, they can make it work. And they can give, at least for you, enough time to gel the project and make it work. Well, what's the key to the kind of time management that they do?
Well, first off, if we figure that out together, I'd like to know.
It has something to do with sending emails at 4 a.m. So there has to be a small part of never sleeping, which is the only way that they can get it done. But no, they, like Chris said, Greg at the top, he gets Sarah Schachter, who's an amazing storyteller. Then the two of them, once we teamed with them for our show, they immediately suggested and got us Lee Tolan Krieger to direct our pilot. He's directed Riverdale for them. He directed You for them. So right away, you're kind of sharing the load, and you're getting people where, well, now we don't need to worry about the direction of the show that much because Lee Tolan Krieger is going to direct it. They don't have to worry about the voice of the show too much because Chris and I have the voice. There's still 1,000 things they need to worry about, but it's putting all the pieces in place where even our physical production, we're using a lot of the same people that they used on You as well. And you're just being able to rely on great partners at every step. And Chris and I are just lucky to be part of that family.
And I think going back to your original question, there is almost a superpower is the ability to switch between projects, to be able to go from like one production office or one story writer's room to another, to just be able to kind of like to switch and go, like go between them, almost like you're switching channels. But I again, and that's a superpower.
Mm-hmm. Chris, when you and Sam put the writer's room together for this, or you get the directors together, how do you work with them so that the voice and the tone that you set for the series is duplicated or is expanded through the other writers you work with?
Well, I think for Sam and I, it's like we're very writer-centric in the sense that what would the best version of the show for us is essentially the writer takes the show from soup to nuts. So we like to put together a series of writers who all want to do our job and are probably hopefully better than us. So
we interviewed some office PAs who have better degrees than Chris and myself. So we're very, very fortunate with the talent that's out here in beautiful Burbank.
And then we work with them essentially to kind of like figure out how we do the show, which is a combination of genre and thrills and also with a sense of humor, but always focused on character and making a grounded show. But there's such a, you know, wealth of talent here in Los Angeles and beautiful downtown Burbank that, you know, we love working with them. We love being in the writer's room. It's probably where I feel most comfortable. And so we, you know, we work hand in glove with our writers, and essentially they take the shows, you know, all the way through the process. And then when it comes to directing, it's like the secret of television right now is that it has become more cinematic than ever. And so for everything that I've done, from Chuck to Legends to Prodigal, you know, is dependent on an awesome director. You know, a director, we're not looking for like classic traditional TV directors. We're looking for people that really are going to bring a special style and energy to the show. So we really kind of, you know, go out and search for those directors, and that's been a big part of what's been made Berlanti successful. And, you know, we've seen we've got a great team here on Prodigal this year.
Your name is Sam Scalabra and Chris Fedak. They're the creator and showrunners of Prodigal Son. It's the brand new crime drama or dramedy from Fox, depending on your point of view, and it will be the first original new series under Fox as an independent player. Begins 2 weeks from tonight, September 23rd, 1956, time after the opening stanza of 911 third season. And they're both with us, Sam and Chris, live from Los Angeles this half hour, the Burbank part of it, right here on Tamabi Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. And you have a question or comment or many minutes with both of them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Week after next, Friday on Tamabi Televised, we'll meet one of the highest directors of unscripted and game show television, Ian Nowitzki. His credits include Tell the Truth on ABC, Songbird, the new summer hit on NBC, and Hollywood Game Night with Jane Lynch. But you might not know this, he's also working on some interesting digital services that might come soon to your smart TV set or smart TV device. Ivan Nowitzki, live with us, right here, a week from Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tamabi Televised. Do not miss it. Should be a lot of fun. Sam, as the show moves on from the opening episode, what can we expect in terms of expanding what happens? And also talk about some of the interesting other stars you have. You've got people like Lou Diamond Phillips on the show, Kiki Wojtyna's work I've enjoyed. She was on Dirty John the first season last year on Bravo. You got some really, really good guest stars and supporting cast in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, every week what we're excited to do is tell a new case every week, a new crime that can be solved with the help of Lou Diamond Phillips as Lieutenant Arroyo, Aurora Pernot as Detective Danny Powell, and Frank Hartz, who comes in as Detective J.T. Taramel. And that's kind of Bright's NYPD family. What we're excited about is that when you're raised by a serial killer, one of the only places you can feel comfortable is a crime scene. And that's really where Bright gets to shine his most, really be his Sherlock Freud. So we're very, very excited about all those cases of the week. Like you were saying, just because of the cast that are surrounding him, any scene that has Lou Diamond Phillips in it is a scene I want to watch. He's really just doing some amazing work on our show. This is really the story we were saying of a son of a serial killer, but Lou really plays the good dad in Malcolm Bright's life and the person who's trying to help him make better. And the relationship that our two actors have with each other, Tom Payne and Lou Diamond Phillips, it's really beautiful. So that's lovely. And then the other thing we're excited to tell every week are these larger kind of stories about the family's mythology. Everyone is very interested when you say, what if your father was a serial killer? But we also want to tell the story of, what if your husband was a serial killer? We couldn't have been luckier than to get Bellamy Young, who we were huge fans of from Scandal. Bellamy Young, she's playing this character of Jessica Whitley. She thought she had married the man of her dreams. They were creating a life together, and then, you know, it's whatever happened to Mrs. Madoff. It's the same sort of thing where all of a sudden you're not being sat at the center table anymore, but she's being sat off to the side with the Sacklers. And so we're very excited for those family stories to come out every week. And you watch the show and you're like, how could she not have known that her husband was killing people? And that's a great question. That's a question that we're excited to get into series. We're excited to tell so many stories. How did Martin do these crimes? We're excited to tell those stories. And what did Malcolm Bright know about his dad? So every week we're excited to dig deeper into this family while still getting this procedural element where we get to put the pieces together with Malcolm Bright and try and figure out who killed the body drop in Act One.
Final question for both of you. What is it like for you not only to open a new show, but also in a way to open up a new era for Fox, because this is the first original series that Fox is making as an independent entity. You're first out of the block. You've got 911 as a great lead-in with the third season. I saw the the promotion, the promo spot during NFL football yesterday for the opening episode, which takes place at a tidal wave, and it's like amazing see the tidal wave popping up on a community. But what's it like to know that you are going to open up a new era for this network?
I think it's exciting for us. It's like our partnership with Fox and Warner Brothers has been great ever since the pitch. They've been engaged and excited for this show. They see how it fits into the Fox's history, and you know we're excited. You know, and I think that it's an exciting place to be making a television show right now because it isn't a part of a giant, massive studio. It's a different thing. It's almost like going back in time in a way to a kind of a more classic network studio dynamic, and so. You know, it's exciting, and it's creatively, they've been amazing partners. So, you know, we can't wait for the next step.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got a great boss in Charlie Collier, who has done a lot of great work with AMC when he was there with everything from The Walking Dead to Preacher to Mad Men, somebody who is definitely a force in terms of original television.
I think that's another neat thing for us is that with Charlie's, you know, stewardship at Fox is that, you know, we sold the show before Charlie came on, but the notion was that that they would be striving for shows that would be challenging, shows that would push the envelope, shows that would, you know, kind of fall into the classic tradition of House and 9-1-1. And so, you know, lucky enough, we were making that show. We're, you know, Prodigal Son is designed to be a show that you can watch after 9-1-1. It has the same energy and excitement. It's different in the sense that it's a psychological thriller as opposed to a disaster story. But I think that for us, it's like, We were excited, and you know it was the time slot that we always were hoping for. We thought we would be a great match for it, and that you know, and with Charlie's kind of you know shaping of the network, it's like it fits in very well.
Yeah, Charlie is. We've been very very fortunate, as Chris was saying, where Charlie just got the show right away, and he was completely on board. And the only note that we've ever gotten from him is just more. He's just a guy who wants our show to be more. And that's the perfect note you want. Wait, so you're saying you like it? Yes, I love it. It's at 10. I want it at 10.5. And it's a great note to get from a guy who we couldn't be more excited to partner with. I think, like Chris was saying, we immediately knew that we wanted to do this show with Greg Berlanti. Having worked with him before, it's like, why would you not want Tom Brady as your quarterback? But after Greg, we knew we wanted to do it at Fox, and it was just so exciting to do it at the Fox that Charlie is setting up because it's the coolest network, and we're, you know, unabashedly trying to be the coolest show on network TV.
Prodigal Son, co-starring Tom Payne and Michael Sheen and a terrific supporting cast. It begins 2 weeks from tonight. That's on September 23rd, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local Fox station. It will follow the third season premiere of 9-1-1. Check your local listings for the Fox station in your area. For more details about the program online, Fox.com. It's www.fox.com. Prodigal Son, the first original series in the new Fox era, premieres 2 weeks from tonight. Sam Scalabro and Chris Fedak, the creators and showrunners of Prodigal Son, thank you both very much for taking the time and being with us. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground, and have yourselves a wonderful premiere night in 2 weeks, and hopefully a great long run from there. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Simon. You better watch.
All right, will do, Sam and Chris. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Sam Scalabro and Chris Fedak joining us live from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. More programming coming your way, looking at IFP Week coming also later this week and into next week. We'll have people from IFP, but first some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. If you are looking for a very, very special book, and I do mean a very, very special book, how about this that you can hear right now through a trial run of Audible.com? It's My Own Words by Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's a very special look at Ginsburg's Supreme Court career in both words and speeches that she's given on the trail. Anyway, you can get My Own Words by Ruth Bader Ginsburg right now with a trial run to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. And remember, there's a growing catalog of Audible Originals devoted to original radio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater around the country, and one-woman and one-man shows. And if you sign up at audibletrial.com right now/televised, you can get not one, not two, but three audiobooks for a one-month trial, and that includes two of those Audible originals. So check out audibletrial.com/tellwives right now. Hear for yourself why audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. Coming up next, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. Nobody got the answer to our current one. We'll give that to you. We've got a brand new one. If you're a fan of the Brady Bunch, I think you will really like this, especially with a very Brady renovation premiering tonight on Home and Garden Television. But first, IFP Week is around the bend. What do independent filmmakers think about getting to TV, especially with more new avenues to get in than ever? We will talk with two representatives of IFP and IFP Week, first Dan Paluzio and then Gabrielle Carpellino. They'll both join us live from New York after we pause after the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradioandspreaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker is your home for the Jen Eric Jones Show, where it's all about success. Check out the next episode Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, Jen Eric Jones and crew right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Remember, you can also get the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Mark from Bobby Tell Live. For those of you just joining us in our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, happy to have you aboard. Sunday afternoon, I'm with you live from New York, 76 degrees at the top of the hour. We have more great guests coming for you this half hour or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. So give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A new person just came into the room. Thank you for that. And that room you will find at our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will get you involved. Today kicks off a very special trio of weeks here in New York that by the end of those weeks could tell us a lot about where TV is at and where it's going. And one of those occasions is IFP Week from the Independent Filmmaker Project. It will start on Sunday and continue through most of next week. We have a very unusual half hour in store for you. We're going to showcase two of the people who are making IFP Week happen. But you're going to hear them one after the other as opposed to both of them as we did with the folks from Prodigal Son. So first up, joining us live in New York is IFP Week's producer of public programs, Sam Fazzolo. Sam, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure to have you aboard. We've been covering IFP Week for a long time. It's great to hook up back with you both again for what's happening this time. Before we get into the week itself, what's your sense out there of what independent filmmakers are feeling about breaking into television, especially when they're seeing what's going on right now? But more importantly, as you mentioned, BET Plus launches next week. Disney Plus launches in November. Apple TV Plus, maybe hope tomorrow we'll find out when that is going to happen this fall. There's also going to be HBO Max. There's Comcast and Universal. There's more services premiering on smart TV sets and smart devices. What's the sense from your community out there about breaking the television?
Yeah, well, I think to your point, there's just so much more opportunity now for creators, whether it's traditional filmmakers or people, you know, with a background in television. There's just more opportunity to create and distribute content across, you know, traditional television networks or streaming platforms or theatrically. There's just this kind of blurred line between film and television these days. And I think what's exciting is that it just creates more opportunity. And I think that's really evident when you look at the lineup of our panels this year during IFP Week. There's just this wonderful blend, and we're very excited to be curating so many conversations that can apply to both film or TV.
And talk about some of those events, because they're divided into different categories. You have public events. You also have events for people who are attending, who are filmmakers themselves. And it tends to be like something like, 3,000 meetings throughout the week of filmmakers with various entities?
Exactly. Yeah, I think if it's helpful, I can kind of give you a bird's eye view of IFP Week, which sort of has two components, one of which I can speak to, and then the other, my colleague Gabriele will talk more about after me. But essentially, IFP Week has the two sides. It has the Project Forum, which is a marketplace and an opportunity for filmmakers and creators to submit their projects. And then our programming team selects projects and pairs them with industry people with the hope of furthering those projects along. And that's sort of a private-facing aspect to IFP Week, but it's really vital to the independent film and TV community here in New York. And then separate from that, we have our public programs, which is what I've overseen. And that is anything that's available to attend by members of the public or people that have an interest in film and TV or aspiring filmmakers or working creatives. And that consists of a number of panels happening throughout the week, as well as some smaller workshops and seminars and things that are designed more to educate and kind of provide resources to people and how to navigate the film business and television business.
And speaking of the TV business, the opening event on Sunday involves the head of Imagine Impact. That's Imagine Television's effort, Imagine Ron Howard, Brian Grazer's effort to develop more talent for TV and for film. I think they're now in part two, part three of their ongoing venture. I have a hunch that's going to be very well attended.
Yeah, we're excited to have Tyler Mitchell, who is the head of Imagine Impact, delivering our keynote. And, you know, after speaking with him, and we all learn more about this incredible accelerator program that Imagine Impact is offering screenwriters and creatives around the world, we thought we had to give them a platform to promote that at IFP Week. And people who attend will really take valuable insight and knowledge away from that presentation.
Mm-hmm. I want to point out that Imagine Television's latest program, which premiered a week or so ago on Hulu, is Route to an American Saga. We had the producer of the show, Alex Z, was on our program last week. And you can get that, by the way, at our homepage, blogsofradio.com/televised. So they are making more of a foray into television, not just, by the way, dramatic television, but also kids and family as well. Who are some of the other major people that you're going to have speaking in public?
Well, as you mentioned, sort of Sunday kicks off our week-long strand of panels. So Sunday, some of the highlights, we have the creative team behind Time Studios, which is the new premium content division of Time Inc., and they're going to talk all about their upcoming projects and their slate of episodic series and unscripted series and feature-length documentary films and immersive content and all about the exciting projects that they are going to be releasing soon. We have an incredible panel that will focus on the process of adapting podcasts to series. So that one in particular really has a strong focus on television. So we have the writer and director of Limetown, both the podcast and now the Facebook television series. We have one of the producers of Two Dope Queens. We have someone from Gimlet talking about Homecoming and some of their other projects. We also have someone from UCP, which is a podcast division of NBC Universal, and they've been involved with many projects, including Dirty John and an upcoming project called Alice Isn't Dead, which was inspired by a podcast. So that's definitely one to catch on Sunday. We also have a panel that will celebrate Asian American storytellers and kind of this moment that they're having right now. And that one, we'll hear from John M. Chu, the director of Crazy Rich Asians. And we also have Teresa Hsiao, who is writing the new Comedy Central show with Awkwafina, for which she co-created. So that's another really cool opportunity to combine the worlds of TV and film into one conversation. We also have a panel on short films, and some of those short films are actually finding new distribution and sort of new life on television networks and streaming networks, including Netflix and A&E. And then later in the week, after Sunday, we begin a new program this year, which we started, which is our weekday strand. So we're going to have 4 to 5 panels happening each day from 12 to 4 p.m. at our media center and at special venues throughout Brooklyn. And each of those will focus on a common theme. So day one is particularly exciting for this Dumbo Brooklyn audience, which is heavily made up of documentary film people. And that day we'll dedicate to documentary film and series. So we have a panel on true crime where we'll have Nancy Abraham from HBO lead a conversation with Joe Berlinger and Aaron Lee Carr and the creators and directors from Netflix series Abducted in Plain Sight and the Amanda Knox documentary. We'll also have later in the week a panel that's dedicated to literary adaptations at the Center for Fiction. And that one as well will combine people from film and TV. So we have Antonio Campos is a great example. He directed and produced several episodes of The Sinner, which originated as a novel. And now he's also directing, and he produced a film called The Devil All the Time, which is inspired by a book. So there's really no shortage of wonderful conversations that cover a very broad variety of topics this year. And the goal was to combine people across both disciplines, movies and TV series, because these trends really do apply equally to both.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Sam Pizzullo. He is the producer of public programs at IFP Week. And coming up later this half hour, we'll have Gabriele Capolino. He is the senior manager of Episodic TV International for IFP. And we'll talk with him about a number of things involving this week, which kicks off on Sunday and runs all next week in various places at Brooklyn, including the Brick Media House on Fulton Street, where I used to do Tomorrow Be Televised from way back when we were simulcasting with then Brooklyn Independent Media, now Brick TV. And also Amazon Studios has a hub in Brooklyn, which will also be a site of some of these events as well. So we have a few more minutes with Sam. If you have a question or comment for him, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Imagine Impact is one of those ways that you can get shows on the air, or at least get a tryout. 2 years ago, blockchain technology combined with cryptocurrency was all the rage. You had SingularDTV, you had other companies that were interested in trying to develop Netflix-like services where individual TV series as well as films could be financed, promoted, marketing this way without the use of a middleman. And I understand that SingularDTV is now called Breaker, and they will be featured. In fact, I think they're one of your sponsors this year, and they're going to be featured in a panel.
That's correct. Yeah, they're going to be speaking on a panel on Thursday at our media center. The theme of that day is the future of storytelling. So they're curating a really cool conversation that will educate people on this new blockchain distribution platform and how creators, whether it's TV showrunners or producers or film directors, can, you know, monetize their content in unique ways and leverage the power of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology to tell stories. And other panels that day will feature branded content. We have a panel with Kodak talking about the future of film, literally shooting on celluloid film. And then we're also having a panel sponsored by Ample Entertainment, which is a big player in the unscripted television scene. And they're going to lead a conversation focused on multi-hyphenate media companies like ESPN and Facebook that are producing and distributing content across various platforms.
Mm-hmm. And what about crowdfunding? I believe Steven Spark is going to be involved this year. And there's also a company that I think has a solo event, Son of the Something, it comes to mind. But I guess it's a new company that's going to showcase itself for the first time at your event, and that may be involved in television as well.
Yeah, I believe you're referencing Story Syndicate, which is a division of a company that was started by Liz Garbus, who's a very notable documentary filmmaker. And the goal of that company is to kind of expand its reach outside of traditional documentary film into other avenues, which includes television. Both that and the Seed and Spark presentation will be included within our Direct Access program, which, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the two programs that are designed more for aspiring and working filmmakers and industry people who want to gain valuable insight from accomplished professionals and veterans in the industry. So that takes place at our media center, but in a classroom setting. It's not a traditional panel where you're just listening to people talk. You're actually able to interact with the person who's leading that presentation and ask questions and engage with them and walk away from that day with actionable items and resources to further your career. Same with Meet the Decision Makers, which pairs up to 7 filmmakers or creators with representatives from different companies. And we have an entire day dedicated to television. That'll be on Wednesday the 18th at the Amazon Hub. So we'll have representatives from 7 different companies working in the TV space who have agreed to take meetings with up to 7 filmmakers at a time.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, what's your sense about what the crowd is going to be? Do you have a sense of how bigger the week is going to be in terms of attendance versus last year?
Well, frankly speaking, this is my first year at IFP, so I don't have much to compare it to. I haven't actually attended IFP in the past. So all I can say is that we made a really, really strong effort this year to expand our offerings, and we're very happy with what we achieved. There's so much more happening throughout the week, and so far ticket sales have been fantastic, and things are selling out, and we expect everything to be very, very well attended.
And once again, IFP Week starts this Sunday with a set of panels and will continue throughout next week at various sites in Brooklyn, including Brick Media House in Fulton, near Fulton Street in Brooklyn, and also the new Amazon, I guess it may be new for us, I never heard it before, the Amazon Studios Hub, not far from the East River, and also the IFP Media Center. Great place if you've never gone there, by the way. The Main New York Production Media Center right there. It's really, really terrific. Sam Paluzzo, thank you so much for coming aboard. We really appreciate you taking the time. And, of course, all of it. And we will, by the way, if you want to know more information, we'll repeat this before the end of the hour. More information about IFP Week and particular topics and panels you can go to is www.ifp.org. It's www.ifp.org. Sam, again, thank you so much for the time. Looking forward to having Gabrielle in a moment, and we really appreciate what you folks are doing for independent filmmakers in terms of getting the television.
Can I add one thing, Simon? Because we actually have a very special offer for your listeners. We're offering a 20% promotional code, which can be applied to all of our panels and workshops, and the code is DUMBO20, D-U-M-B-O-20, and you can go to ifpweek.com/conference. And there you'll find a list of everything happening throughout the week, and that code can be applied to any of those programs. So we hope you'll all check it out and take advantage, and we hope to see all of you next week.
That's really super, Sam. Thanks to you and your organization for doing that. And if you can email me the details, we will post it on Facebook and Twitter and also on the Blog Talk site throughout the rest of the week.
I will happily do that. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Sam. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye.
Sam Paluzzo, he is IFP Week's producer of public programs. And now joining us live in New York, one of the other key people involved with IFP and IFP Week, he is the senior manager of Episodic TV International, Gabrielle Capolino. Gabrielle, thanks for coming aboard.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Are you getting any nibbles from the likes of Apple TV Plus and BET Plus and HBO Max, et cetera, about meeting with some of the filmmakers here at IFP Week about series possibilities?
Well, you know, those new streamers or the new platforms that are coming from big corporations that we've known for years, I think they're still taking some time to, you know, develop internally what their mission is, and of course they want to have more reassurances content-wise, so they will go first with projects that they already know and people that they already know, and eventually, hopefully, next year, 1 year down the line, they will come to IFP Week to, you know, find new voices and fresh voices and content that is a little different from the ones that they would, you know, be developing right now. So we have all the streamers and all the big production companies coming to meet with those people, but, you know, the Apple TVs, the new HBO, the Quibis of the world, they're still incubating their own people, and I am more than ready to welcome them next year. But I'm sure that our filmmakers this year will meet with the right people and a lot of streamers and a lot of production companies can they really elevate their content and their projects.
Yeah. On the other hand, you do have Netflix, you do have Amazon Studios, you've got, I'm sure, CBS All Access, Hulu, et cetera. We'll probably have people there in force.
Yes, of course. And you know what? I think that it's important for the streamers to be at our event. Of course, our filmmakers will eventually need to go on a second date with them, as I say, because all these projects with TV streamers need to be formally pitched. But it's good for the streamers to be here and start planting seeds with these creators. Of course, the industry comes to IFP Week to, of course, embrace the projects that we select and curate, but also they can scout talents and they can scout people to staff their writer's room. They can find TV directors. So it's good for the streamers and all the TV industry to be here with us to scout creators and talent regardless of the project. Of course, we are championing these specific projects. We have 143 projects. Documentaries, TV projects, narrative feature films in development and production, but it's good for them to come regardless of the project, because those are people that IFP is championing, and we have a long history of championing people that now work in film and TV, and regardless of that, they should come here and meet with them.
Now, I ask the same question I asked Sam. What is the interest level now in your community to doing and breaking into television series, whether scripted or unscripted, compared to a year ago, especially now that you have all of these smart TV sets, smart TV device distributed services like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, but now we know BET Plus is launching next week, which is, of course, right in the middle of your IFP Week and Diversity Week, I might add, too, but also, you know, Apple TV Plus and HBO Max and Space for Creators and a whole bunch of other new services.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there is a little bit of a little concern about from the filmmakers, but just because the offer is so much that they need to be up to date with everything. And again, either if you are a film content creator or a TV content creator, you should be aware of everything that is happening in the market. That's something that I cannot stress enough to our filmmakers that come to our workshops, to our labs, and also to IFP Week. And the most important thing for them is to come and really be open-minded. One of our most successful stories from two years ago, was actually a feature film in development that we presented and eventually was presented at Sundance. This year, Amazon jumped on board of that movie and now they are developing it into a series, into a TV show. So things are very, very fluid, and you know, people are looking for strong IP with built-in audience. So I think that it's important for the creators to know what they want, but also to study the market very well. I think that I'm smelling a renaissance of short-form content, which is something that people thought it was dead until last year. And now the Quibis of the world and new content and platforms are arising. So I will stress this again with my filmmakers that are selected for this year. Come here with an open mind and try to understand what is the best thing for you and this project in the market right now, because the offer is a lot.
Now, I understand that there is going to be at this event a project forum that will include episodic television. And I believe that there's going to be, first of all, I want to get to this episodic lab first. Is that new, doing an episodic TV lab? I understand you have, 10 projects involved.
Exactly. I mean, we had a similar workshop before that had a different name, but now we revamped some criteria for eligibility and we opened up to different kind of projects, and all the criteria and guidelines are at www.ifp.org, of course, and the program is called IFP Episodic Lab, in which, yes, we select every year 10 projects between fiction and nonfiction TV shows in development. And basically what we do, we work with those team of creators for 5 days. We work on what the stage of the market is, what production and funding means for TV, what their distribution possibilities are, but also something that we work for all the 5 days is pitching. These are people that, of course, are working on their passion projects. They are really, really art-driven. But at the end of the day, if they want to work in TV, no matter how, you know, well-presented and arty you are, but you have to nail your pitch. So this is something that we'll be doing at IFP Week. We'll be having an entire day of pitches of all the 30 projects that we selected in the series space. And it's something that we work very hard with the 10 projects that we select at our episodic lab. If you want to work on TV, you have to nail a good pitch.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, was this originally the Forward Impact Project, the project that was announced over a year ago with Series Fest, the Denver-based TV festival?
Oh, we might have other plans with Sirius Fest, so we're talking about it. This project is on hiatus, and we had two pitching sessions last year, so we decided to keep just one. And with Sirius Fest is coming again, and they will scout for projects and things to showcase at their festival, but also in other initiatives they have year long. So more surprises to come.
By the way, I want to mention the 10 series that are in play here under this episodic lab, and I'll do this in order of by alphabet. It's Adventures from the Bedrooms of African Women. That's a comedy drama. Celluloid Dreams. It's an unscripted show. The Devil and Gallop. Also an unscripted show about merchants in New Mexico. Did you ever have a family? It's a scripted show, limited drama, adapted from a novel by Bill Clegg, critic author. The Gallery of Madame Lu Song. It's also a scripted show. About a gallery, an art gallery person, in very interesting art mysteries. How You Like Me Now, about the hip-hop pioneer Kool Moe Dee. Next Generation Sex, again, it's unscripted, it's a documentary series about teenage sexuality. Tenebris, supernatural thriller fiction. A Town Called Victoria, it's also a nonfiction about the first travel ban that took effect under President Trump. And Who's Annie, which is a fiction show about 12-step programs. Very interesting set of content that you've got in play.
Sorry, say it again?
I've been very interesting set of content. And on Monday, by the way, they will be part of an episodic day where they will pitch those projects to various people, and they'll also take part in other sessions too.
Yes, those projects will participate with other series projects that we selected exclusively for IP Week, because the 10 projects that went through the episodic lab are allocated automatically a slot in the IP Week lineup in the project forum. So we have 30 projects pitching on Monday in front of a room full of industry interested in episodic content. So they will have to nail the pitch, and I will ask a couple of questions about their content to elaborate more. And then starting Tuesday and on, they, all those 30 projects, including the 10 of the Episodic Lab, will actually meet industry via one-on-one meetings that are 30 minutes long. And some of them are very, very requestive. Some of them are a little more specific because they are maybe in a stage of development that is advanced for many companies to jump on board. But regardless, they are going to meet a lot of people that for this project or for other projects will for sure champion them and help them to go to the next level.
During this episodic day, are they going to be exposed to ways they can get their projects financed, whether it is through a blockchain cryptocurrency venture like Breaker, formerly Singular DTV, or a crowdfunding mechanism like Kickstarter or Seed and Spark, or getting involved with a project like Imagine Impact, which we showcased on Sunday? What kind of ways are they going to be exposed to in terms of getting financing, getting promotional marketing support, you know, the critical things to get a show off the ground?
So for me, there are different ways. You know, TV is definitely a different model of financing and distribution compared to film, and IFP has been renowned to be around since 1979, working with films and film industry. So we had to catch up with the time ourselves, and that happened around 2015 when we started to smell that and hunger for episodic content was existed in the industry and also in the filmmakers that they were developing independently episodic content. I think that there are different ways to go. I mean, you know, the news companies that are blockchain and the old crowdfunding system is great to start, you know, testing your audience, because you receive a first indication on how many eyeballs you have on this project, how many people could be potentially interested eventually in watching the final show. And it's very, very good to, you know, to produce like a proof of concept, which is something that industry loves to see, like a test or a pilot that gives you the flavor and everything else that is a little more than reading just a pilot script. But I would think that my biggest goal for my filmmakers is, you know, for them to find that real champion among the industry, a person that really falls in love with their content and can open other doors, or a good production company that helps them develop the content even more. And, you know, attaching a good production company to your project means that eventually you can go and formally block your 30-minute pitch with the Netflix of the world, the Hulu's of the world, and all the big streamers and TV companies as well. They are here to scout projects, but again, to do the formal pitching, you need a big production company or a big champion that eventually will open those doors. But we have all those people here, so I'm very looking forward to seeing that magic happen in front of our eyes in a week.
Yeah. And before we go, the project you mentioned from a couple of years ago that got the series deal, where does that stand right now? Have they started producing? Do they know where they're going to produce it for? And when is it going to premiere?
Well, Sela in the Spades, and that's the name of the show and the movie first that premiered at Sundance. They are already working with Amazon. The Taisha, the director of the original movie, is attached to direct the series, as far as I know. And another project of the same year that was presented by an independent creator from NYU, Juliet, that project is called Demons. And actually, she, of course, met a lot of industry at IFP Week, and she pitched in the Serious Day that we're going to have next Monday, 2 years ago. And her project, she attached Lionsgate TV, and they pitched to Hulu, and now that project is in the working. And I am not sure if she will be directing some episodes. That, you know, the credits and everything, it's in the TV world, it's all legal, and it's the big streamer or network to decide. But it's great that a first-time creator in the TV world has the chance, you know, to meet a lot of people at ISP Week, and eventually this project got picked up, and she is not a well-known creator. So already 2 years ago, we tested that, you know, hunger for these new voices and new project was real, and I'm sure it will keep going.
And by the way, when these two series are ready to go and ready to premiere, please let us know. We would love to have interviews with the creators on our program. So you have an open invite for that.
Fantastic.
Also want to point out, too, that at IFP's Media Center, there's also an event, I think, next Thursday called IFP Marketplace, which is going to showcase some new ventures. I think many of them may be TV ventures or have a TV connection. And we're going to see if we can try to get there and check out those ventures and see whether any of them might be available on smart TV sets or smart devices or somewhere on the tube in the near future. One more thing before we go. What's the status of diversity in terms of getting more people of color to produce, write, and be part of this episodic TV world? It seems that, as was mentioned before, we're now seeing Asian Americans really get in the marketplace in a big way. You're seeing it on shows like AMC's The Terror Infamy, Woo Assassins from Netflix, Alex Zia, who I mentioned earlier, who's Asian American, is doing the Wu-Tang American Saga series for Amazon, for Hulu. It just seems that there's a lot more interest level in having African Americans, Latinos, Asians, et cetera, get involved with TV.
Yes, no, definitely. I think that the matter of, you know, diversity and representation is real. I feel that a chunk of industry, and I know if I'm okay by saying this, but I think it's true, and we should, you know, think about it. I don't think that a part of industry is really ready to go and embrace what diversity and representation means. I think that many people still, you know, they think about quotas and you know, defending the possibility of people to get into the right rooms. It's really not about that. It's to give the possibility to the audience to experience different point of views. And a good show that for me really did the trick this year was Euphoria. Because Euphoria is not the show that you might think it's the best, you know, at least on paper, open for diversity and representation. But it's really, really smart. And what they did also with certain topics and themes is to integrate the topics in a very, very natural way in the plot. And I think that show is a good way and a good, you know, testament of what TV can do. And I think that it's even better than most of the movies in terms of representation and diversity.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think HBO has a winner in Euphoria. Zendaya's performance is incredible, and I hope it is recognized, by the way, at next year's
Emmy. Same.
And I'll also throw in David Makes Man, the Oprah Winfrey Network series from the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight, Terrell, Alvin McCraney. We're still trying to get him on the show for those who've been hearing our show of late. But I think this program is marvelous, and the cast is fantastic, and some wonderful writing and directing talent are coming to the fore. And I hope this show wins the Peabody next year, as well as the major Emmy nominations. The whole work on the show on every level, it's very diverse, and it's really, really incredible. Again, if you want more details about IFP Week, which starts on Sunday at various parts of Brooklyn, particularly near the East River, all you got to do is go to www.ifp.org. That's www.ifp.org. And once again, if you missed earlier, they're offering a special discount if you're in the New York area. And if you want to catch IFP Week in person, they're offering a special discount. We will put that information on our Blog Talk Radio page. We'll also put it as well on our Facebook and Twitter feeds throughout the week. Gabrielle Capolino, thank you so much for coming on again, and Sam as well from early in the half hour. It's been a pleasure to have you both aboard. Good luck with IFP Week. By the way, your organization is four decades old and growing and expanding. It's really great to see, and hopefully a lot of people will take advantage, and hopefully a lot of the new television will come forward from the week.
Absolutely. I hope to see a lot of your listeners that live in your area around.
Absolutely, Gabrielle. Take care. All the greatest.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Gabrielle Capolino, Senior Manager of Episodic TV International at IFP. And before that, Sam Petrillo, IFP Week Producer of Public Programs, both joining us here in New York. Now time for our classic trivia questions. By the way, we are going over time a little bit because I have a comment for you in a second. But first, classic trivia question of the week. Nobody got our question over the last 2 weeks, so here is the answer to that one. Remember the question? The Untouchables was the first television series from legendary executive producer Quinn Martin. What was the last? The answer? A Man Called Sloan starring Robert Conrad of the Wild Wild West and Baba Black Sheep and Hawaii Nine of the show's fame. It was on NBC briefly in 1979, and Sloan was sort of a man from Uncle kind of character, and unfortunately lasted 12 episodes. But that was the final series, executive produced by Quinn Martin, and that was the answer to our classic trivia question. So here's our new one, and if you're first with the correct answer, ASAP, you'll win the three-minute rule. Say less to get more from any pitch or presentation. It's by the former, a recent TV guest, Brad Kinetic, who is himself an unscripted TV executive and producer. Here's the question, and it's dedicated to all you Brady Bunch fans who may be watching a very Brady Revolution tonight on Home and Garden Television. We had two HGTV executives on the show last week, so this is a Brady Bunch question for them. Here it is. Name the Brady Bunch's pet. Name the Brady Bunch's pet. We want both the name and the type of pet. Name the Brady Bunch's pet. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also include your name and where you're emailing from. If you first with the correct answer, you will win the upcoming book, The 3-Minute Rule, from Brant Venditter, who was on our show sometime back. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So email ASAP. If you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Play in for the win. And all the very best. And before we leave you, a comment. As I said before, we're just stretching our show beyond our normal hour to get this comment in. Because there are two events happening this week. One, a lot of you don't know about. And the other, taking place tomorrow, you do. But first, we'll get to the one that you probably don't know about. Back in May, Walmart, the nation's largest retailer, announced, "We are getting into the television business in a big way. And we're going to do it in two ways. First, we're going to put original programming on Vudu. Our video on demand service is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And the second is we're going to incorporate our $500 million investment in Echo, EKO. That's the interactive TV platform that is being put together by Samsung, by MGM Television, and by a set of venture capitalists, with Walmart's $500 million investment. The first project that was scheduled to come out from the Vudu arrangement is Mr. Mom, MGM's series adaptation of the famous movie from the 80s starring Michael Keaton and Terry Garr. We saw a clip from the pilot for the show. Looked pretty good. Was a bit on the funny side. Very cute. Well, what's happened since? Well, that program was supposed to premiere over the summer, and it didn't. Not in June, not in July, not in August. But guess what? The program is going to premiere this Thursday. That's right, this Thursday, September 12th. And there hasn't been much word from Walmart or Vudu about it. Yes, you can find a trailer on Vudu's website, and that is it. No press release, nothing from Walmart on their website or Vudu's website, nothing from MGM Television's website, nothing, nada. We tried to contact Vudu on a special press line twice today, and we were told both times, sorry, this line is no longer in service. I've seen the trailer for Mr. Mom. I think it's a cute show. I think it gets a pretty good audience, a very good family audience. And we might be surprised about how funny it is for those of you that loved the movie way back when. But here's the thing. If you don't promote the show, it has no shot. So I'm really surprised that Walmart and Vudu have not used this week at all or the previous weeks to say, hey, America, we're ready to go with an original plumbing on Vudu, and Mr. Mom is the first out of the block. We are going to try, by the way, to get the producers of the show on this program one way or the other. We have emails into Walmart. We're trying to get MGM Television to find out if we get an interview through them. But here's the bottom line. If Vudu wants to be a major TV player, if Walmart wants to be a major television player, and they certainly sound that way when they had this event during their Digital Content New Fronts presentation this past May, you have to promote the program. You've got to give the American public a shot at catching your act. And right now it's not happening. I hope it's not a sign of things to come. So somebody at Walmart, somebody at Vudu, get on the ball and promote this show and give the American public a chance to vote on whether or not it's worth a long-running television series. we'll keep you posted about the situation. We are going to invite the folks who produced Mr. Mom, created the show for television, to be on this program next week. The second announcement you pretty much know about. It's taking place tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. It's the special event from Apple. And yes, I know that it spoke to you all about the iPhone for 2020 and new features for the phone and the Apple Watch and maybe the iPad tablet. But here is the bottom line that a lot of us should be concerned about. Apple TV Plus. When is it launching this fall? How much will it cost? What will be the original schedule, and what original programs will fill that schedule, and what is in the pipeline for the months after launch? Those are the questions that Apple TV and their public relations and marketing unit have failed to address ever since they announced Apple TV Plus and another service, Apple Arcade, also for smart TV sets and devices, back this spring. We haven't seen a press release on Apple's website. Apple's PR people do not return phone calls. We've had very few in the midst of trailers. There was one for a few months ago for the series For All Mankind from the producers of the great revival of Battlestar Galactica on Sci-Fi. We've had a trailer for The Morning Show, one of the initial series that was supposedly beyond the schedule of Apple TV+. But yet, we have not had much to go on. And that was because that event back in the spring, in my opinion, was abysmally put together. It, in many ways, was an embarrassment. No trailers, no major footage. Not even Steven Spielberg, when he was there, pulling a great file piece out of the original Amazing Stories run on NBC to illustrate what he wants to do with the new version. And only a Sarah Burrell song, a wonderful theme song, to a series that she's putting together. And that pretty much was it. Sorry, doesn't cut it. Not when you want to be a major TV player and you are going up against other such services for smart TV sets and smart devices like BET+, which will launch next week, like HBO Max, beta later this year, launching early next year. Comcast, NBC Universal, Disney Plus launching in November. And who knows what other services will feature original programming, both scripted and unscripted, on smart TV sets and smart devices. It does not cut it when you are keeping your mouth shut. Tomorrow, Apple can turn it all around. In this person's thoughts, this has to be the day, tomorrow, the day of reckoning, when Apple TV spills the beans and goes beyond just showcasing it at an event in Cupertino, California. It would be really great if there was a press release about the service, the launch details, the shows, and what's in the pipeline, and available to everybody, press and public alike. And follow up with Apple's PR people, some of whom I know, and it's hard to believe that they're keeping silent. It really is, given who is in charge there and the quality of the PR people that Apple has. When Tim Cook takes that stage tomorrow, he has got to make Apple TV job one. Whether he says it up front, whether he goes to other things first, and then Apple TV Plus, he's got to be substantial about this. It cannot be a throwaway. This may be the last chance before launch that Apple TV has to make an impression on the American public. So what's said, how it's said, when it's said, between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock, tomorrow afternoon Eastern Time, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, it's huge. And if I was Apple TV, I would make sure, darn sure, that Apple TV is front and center no matter how it comes across. And that the big questions I mentioned a moment ago, they are answered clearly. One other thing about Apple TV, and this is a great move, And for them, they have to thank the Tribeca TV Festival that kicks off on Thursday. Tribeca decided, at a last-minute date, to feature an Apple TV series. And that's Dickinson, about the famous author Emily Dickinson, with the executive producer playing that role. And on Saturday night, the Tribeca TV Festival will highlight Dickinson as its major presentation here in New York. If I was Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amburg, Apple TV's programming chiefs, I might want to make a trip to New York and Battery Park City to be there on Saturday night and then walk that red carpet and answer every press question possible about Apple TV+. That would be a great surprise. Apple should make the most of this opportunity. It's a big one. And people credit the Tribeca TV Festival for making it happen. They didn't have to do it. They did. They saw something special in Dickinson, and they decided to go for it. Good for them. Now it's time for Apple TV Plus to make the most of that opportunity. And if I was at the TV Festival, I would invite every press person in New York, in the New York metro area, that covers TV, that covers technology, to show up and be there on Saturday night. This is a big deal. Cannot say enough about what's on the line for Apple TV Plus, and for that matter, Apple Arcade. Whatever takes place tomorrow afternoon, we will have something to say about it on our next episode on Friday. And I really, really hope there'll be some good things to say about what Apple says tomorrow. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for being here on today's program and thank all of you for listening. Coming up on our program on Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, we will have the president of NAMIC, A. Shanice Washington. We'll talk about her first year at the helm over these past 12 months and what's in store next week when NAMIC has its annual conference during Diversity Week here in New York at the Marriott Marquis. By the way, tomorrow I'm going to have an interview with her for Media Village, the website that I write a regular Tomorrow We Televise column for, and that column hopefully will appear early during Diversity Week next week. So A. Shanice Washington, will highlight her for Media Village, and we'll also have her on as our lead guest Friday on Tomorrow We Televise. And also on Friday, we'll have Brian Volk-Weiss, the founder and entrepreneur of Comedy Dynamics, which is really trying to make its mark in television. Among other projects they've got coming up, the revival of Mad About You that will premiere in November on Spectrum Originals, re-teaming Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt. And don't forget, the following Friday, among our guests, we'll have Ivan Iditsky, the director of To Tell the Truth on ABC, Songberg and Hollywood Game Night on NBC, and he's also the founder of Deviance Media, which is working on a couple of projects that might come soon to a smart TV or a smart TV-connected device near you. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast anytime you like. Available 24/7 at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker's podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. If you go to the latter, make sure that you put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click and you're in, or go to categories at the top of the page, click for entertainment, and then you'll get our episodes right there. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today? What's your thoughts about IFP Week and Diversity Week and some of the other events that are coming up, the Tribeca TV Festival and some of the other events coming up over the next 3 weeks here in New York that may dictate where TV is going to go over this coming decade? Love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name where you email me from. That's how you get involved in our class trivia question of the week. And also our regular feature is Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, we want to give it attention, but we got to hear from you. When we do, we'll give you the credit. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonCWBT. That's UBCSimonCWBT. And check out my Tomorrow We Televise columns. They're available 24/7 at www.mediavillage.com. And while you're there, check out other wonderful writing from people like E.B. Moss, Charlene Weiser, Ed Martin, Jack Myers, YIL, a whole bunch of wonderful people. Check out my column at Media Village, by the way, about Betty and Nueva York, the telenovela, which I think really shows some very important things that telenovela should do going forward. That's the Betty in New York column right now available at www.mediavillage.com. It's your home on the web for great media leadership. Remember, however you communicate with us, through social media or email, we respond within 24 hours. Why? because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. At BTR and Spreaker, our production associate, Candace Williams. Annie Toad, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's show live is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks, two of them, one of the originals, it's audiblechild.com/televised. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Whatever you're doing this week, make it safe and great. By the way, keep the thoughts and prayers coming for everybody impacted by Hurricane Dorian over the last 2 weeks in the Bahamas, Boston, South Carolina, Halifax, Nova Scotia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're with you. We will get through this, and we'll get through this together. We'll be back at our regular time on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until next time, stay well and stay safe.